Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit the road. Come on, the fire.
Well, Bill,
once again, good evening to you, Philippe.
Good evening. Once again, people don't know that we're coming live from the West Coast.
And what time would that be on the East Coast?
9 o'clock.
And how about the Midwest?
8 o'clock.
You're pretty sharp, all right?
Should we share today's weather with everybody? Let's give a special weather. Mm-hmm. Mr. Weatherman, would you share what the weather's like today in San Diego? 72
and sunny.
72 and sunny. I love that. San Diego, what's the weather like in the 70s and sunny? You know, that's not a bad job to have a San Diego weatherman, you know?
No.
So I was telling you I'm going to redo my motor. I'm in the process of redoing my motorcycle. I got about 8-10 hours into it. If I see you on Sunday, I'm going to do the whole finished product. I'll be all done by then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm pretty interested. I'm going to be surprised. I hold a new motorcycle, too. Here we have everything. I'm running a black, extended forward controls. I'm doing all kinds of stuff to it. I'm going to be surprised
the
on Sunday.
You were riding?
Oh, it's gone. That's gone. I got another one.
Oh, you got another one?
I got another one. I'm done with that bike.
Which one? The one that was on the rack?
No, that was taking too much time getting parts coming in there, so I decided to go somewhere else. I got putting fairing on my bike. I put all kinds of shit. No,
there you go.
Not this side of the Vanity little fairing.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little different style fairing. I'm not sure. We'll see. Surprise for you on Sunday. Okay?
Not that big wide one.
It won't be a big wide one. I call it the clamshell.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well,
don't be afraid to experiment.
I'm not. We got...
You're not afraid when I'm experimenting on my bike, you know. So, yeah. Okay. Guess what color my bike is?
Black.
Oh, good man. Good guess. Yeah. Who do we get?
We got a voice in the background that said pink.
Well, no. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you know damn good well my bike ain't pink.
But,
and any man out there who's got a pink bike, well...
More power to you.
I can tell you don't live in my neighborhood, but that's okay. That's okay.
You know, Tuesday, Bill, we had the...
Past Tuesday?
Yeah, last Tuesday. We had on... remember that guy that collected all the money? The veteran's bike?
Oh, yeah, we didn't hear much about that. What happened to that? Give us the upgrade on that one, brother.
What happened was the Florida sheriff gave the bike to the DAV.
Well, there we go.
The gentleman took it to his show, and he almost got killed. People fucking realized that was the bike, and they added a sidecar to it.
Uh-huh.
Redid the whole, but it took him 7 months to redo the whole thing. And that's the finished product right there. I haven't got permission to post these yet, but once I do...
Huh. Yeah. Well, did they say how he ended up with the motorcycle?
From the sheriff. The guy's in jail. And the sheriff was just sitting there. They approached these guys to see if they could do something with it.
Okay, so we're talking about the people that took monies from the American public.
No, we're talking about a person.
A person that took money from the American public... in the name of veterans, right?
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if any of you are in county jail, look for this man. Tell him how much we appreciate the fact he took money from veterans. He took money from American citizens earmarked to help the veterans, and it went in his own pocket.
What a fucking life.
Bill, let's kind of stop by and say thanks. Say hello to the man. Introduce yourself.
Who's that on 403?
Yay, it's Ray, man, the crazy Frenchman. How you guys doing, brothers?
Not bad.
Fuck, long time no hear.
I just put up the link for that, and they're using 4th State Media. So there's new pictures and stuff of the bike. It's in the chat room right now. But what these guys are trying to do, they're DAV 67 out of Florida.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to rebuild the trust with the veterans organizations. So it's probably going to be an uphill battle.
How many times have you and I talked about the fact that everybody contacts us to give us money, and we try to say, tell everybody, do your research, follow up, check these people out. Just because the idea is a good idea does not always mean the people doing it are good people.
Exactly.
And this fucking lowlife stole money from the veterans.
Right.
Holy fuck. If he runs to Canada, let me know, boys. I'll meet him at the border.
He's in for a while. He would park the bike. He would charge people $3 to take a picture of the bike, $5 to be in the picture with the bike.
Did he have like some kind of poster, a veterans poster next to the bike to attract people, or?
No, he used the bike.
What a fucking goof.
So then he charged $10 if you want to sit on it and take a picture.
Well, like Bill says, man, people in county, look for the guy.
Just walk up and say hello. Tell him how you feel about what he did. That'd be nice.
Oh, fuck. That'd be a good boot fucking session. That's what that'd be.
When the lights go out, the lights are going to go out.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, what a low life, man. But people, you know, people have done that for years. You get good foundations, making great money for people, Cancer Society, whatever the case may be. And there's always infiltrators. You know,
all the big organizations. I'm a little disappointed that their CEOs are collecting six figures in the name of charity.
Exactly. Like you, Bill and Phil, I mean, you guys were both veterans. That's got to affect you in the heart. That's got to hit you pretty bad when you hear shit like that.
We have a run coming up here in a few months with the paralyzed veterans out of the VA hospital. We're going to go from my shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles, myself and my brother Mike Kennedy. We're going to go to the VA hospital, then we're going to go up to Mount Soledad, which is a war memorial. From the war memorial, I got speakers both places. Any money we collect, the members from the VA hospital are going to be right there collecting the money. Phil's not touching no money. I'm not touching no money.
Is it going to go through the attorneys? Like, is there attorneys involved to make sure everything goes good?
Well, the VA hospital, they've got all that stuff tied up. I've got to make so many stupid meetings with the board of directors and all that to make sure I dot the I's and cross the T's. But they have all the big guns in there so that it's all, whatever donation you make is recorded and blah, blah, blah.
Right on.
That we have guys from the paralyzed vets that are helping us put the run on. So it's all pretty legit.
Right on. Well, I'm sure you wouldn't put on those fucking no rip-off show, Bill.
No. We try to, Phil and I try to, we trust everybody, but we got to do the homework. We got to check everybody out.
You got to do your homework. You're perfectly right on that. I mean, anybody, not just you guys, any foundation at all. I mean, even a car wash, make sure the money goes where it's supposed to go.
Big party at my shop on Christmas. It's called the Big Cover Up. We collected all kind of blankets, clothes, socks, everything, and we gave it to a homeless organization at my shop, my brother and my shop. At the shop, we had the homeless organization there collecting all the clothes. It went in the big truck. It went from that right to there, and they gave it right out to the people who needed clothes.
Yeah. And then you had the Mexican run, too, last time I spoke with you, for that lady that rode. She had cancer, and she's still riding her bike. I forget her name. The old lady there, very highly respected. I forget her name. Rose, I think her name was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's with Northern Crowd we deal with.
Yeah, exactly. How'd that turn out?
Good.
Excellent. Good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah, Phil and I will be down in Mexico in July. Come on down and join us.
Sounds good to me, man.
Come on your bike and come down a few states. We're here.
Yeah. As long as they let me in the states, I'll be okay.
See, that's the hard part.
You guys knew I had a 10-year probation. That just finished. So once I get my passport and everything cleared, I know I can go anywhere, but I don't think the states is going to let me in, even with a waiver.
Yeah.
But I can always fly out and rent a bike out there.
We have our friends that ride down to the border, but when we cross, they have to just turn around. They just, something they can't do. They can get into Mexico. It's getting back into America where they get jacked up really hard, so it's just not worth it.
Exactly, exactly. Canada's the same way.
Canada's tough for us to get into Canada. And every time we've been at the border, they want to, we have money in our pockets, and are we legit? We're not just travelers. We're not just, you know, bums hitchhiking. Canada's pretty tough to get into. And they don't like bikers up there that much at all.
Well, no, it's not that they don't like bikers. It's just they're putting their foot down because a lot of immigration people try to sneak through the airports and stuff like that, and they bring in a lot of drugs and whatever else have you. It's not your looks, it's not your bikes. They're just getting a little tighter on the door. They're like, I mean, 5 years ago they were really relaxed, and now they're just tightening up the old belt. Even on young kids, they'll go through a stroller if they suspect any drugs, you know. And there's a show on in Canada, Watching the Border, and it's amazing what mothers will do. And they'll use their children, and they'll have a bottle of milk. Just the other day, the one lady, she says, there wouldn't be any drugs in that milk, would there? And the lady had 3 bags of ecstasy inside the milk.
See,
if one of those bags would have burst or something, that kid would have been sucking on drugs. But it was inside the bottle that the kid had in his mouth.
And that woman needs to lose her children. I hate to say this, but that child needs to be protected. And a mother like that.
Oh, yeah.
No
child custody come right in. They took the kid away from him right there. And it was live on TV, you know, because they go over there with the cameras and everything, and they catch him right there. But to do that to a child, man, that's pretty sad shit.
We definitely agree with that.
Well, you know, Bill, I was telling you earlier, and what I'm going to do is, here's the gentleman right here. This is the guy. I'm going to mute everybody except for the person I'm going to talk to right now, which is from 352. Tyrell?
Hey.
How you doing?
All right.
Welcome to the show, Tyrell. I'm Bill Kennedy, and you were just speaking to Philip, of course. What's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Oh, just wanting to follow up from our call Tuesday. You know, did y'all get the pictures?
Yes. And I forgot to ask you if I could post those.
Yes, you can post those.
Okay, perfect.
Without your permission, we didn't do that. We're waiting to find out if that's okay.
Yes, it's okay. And then we also have the Facebook page that everybody can go to as well.
Okay. And, so Bill was asking me a couple of questions, like, how did the sheriffs decide to give you guys the bike?
So that was the issue I had right up front. How did you end up with possession of the vehicle? I'm curious.
Okay, the sheriff here supports the veterans organizations, the VFW, the Legion, and DAV. And he knew that the DAV was looking for something to help bring them into the 21st century, as it were, you know, because the VFW and the American Legions here, they have bars in the facilities. The DAV does not, because in the state of Florida, they don't want the liability. So they gave the bike to us to use as a fundraiser to either sell raffle tickets for a year and raffle it off, or fix and maintain the bike and take it out as fundraisers. So we're taking it out as fundraisers, plus to put it out on loan if another DAV, American Legion, VFW wants to use it as a fundraiser. We'll gladly get it there, you know.
All right. Now you're talking, you've got the vehicle in your own state and all that, and this show is going on to... 38 countries. So people are listening tonight, but their show is also archived, which means they're sent 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever, somewhere. They're getting up and listening to the show tomorrow. How can someone make contact with you and buy some tickets or something with this, being the fact they're out of the state or out of the country even? Help us with that.
You know,
give us some advice.
You know, if they were out of the state, you know, we can make arrangements to transport it wherever for, you know, the time that it's needed out of the country. You know, that's going to be a logistics nightmare, but we've done worse. They can either
What I'm going to do right now is I've got that little message you guys sent me about the disabled American veterans, Brookfield.
That's the mail location. You know, that's the physical location. Or they can call me on my phone, and if I can give that number out, I can. You know, it's up to y'all.
Let me explain something to you. This show is like the last bastion of freedom. Right now, we're not being monitored. Of course, they're trying to do it. They come in every once in a while and screw with the show. Tonight, they're screwing with the chat room a little bit. But other than that, you can say anything you want. If you feel the need to say the word fuck, you can say it. If you need to feel call somebody an asshole, you can call them an asshole.
We're not here to judge anybody on the choice section. But again, if I'm from a different state or even from a different town and I want to buy a ticket, or I just want to donate, send a small check to your organization, how can we do that, sir?
I sent the mailing address.
Right here. We get up now. Okay,
it's
good.
The Disabled American Veterans, the Brooksville CDA, CADA, Haddon Chapter 67, at 16299 Nancy Boulevard, Brooksville, Florida, 34601. And the phone number to get a hold of these guys is 352-796-1679. And for everybody that's interested, I will put this up.
That's what I want to know. And you, again, if they don't want to buy a ticket or anything, they send a small check to help the cause of veterans. Is that correct?
That's correct. And if you have an organization that wants to put the bike on display as a fundraiser, they can call me at 1-877-379-8732.
Can you repeat that?
1-877-379-8732.
Okay. Did you want me to put that number up there with the pictures?
Yes, sir. You can put that number up with the pictures.
Okay.
We also have a Gmail account, and that's vetsmorebike@gmail.com. We've launched a Facebook. It's Vets War Bike on Facebook. You know, the same pictures are there. You know, and that's all we're about is helping vets.
Mm-hmm.
We're all veterans, and we want to help veterans.
You said that you'd be taking the motorcycle to an event if you requested.
Well, Bill, you know, last week he took it to an event. Tyrell, tell Bill what happened when you went to the event last week.
Tell us where the event was, too, please, first of all.
It was down at Quaker Steak and Lube. It's their weekly bike night. And that one, I found out just how many people the man, the asshole, Eugene Paul, messed over here in the local Tampa Bay market. He got Jim's Harley Davidson for $40,000+. He got Quaker Steak and Lube for thousands of dollars. He got a couple of 1% clubs for thousands of dollars. And, you know, I felt like if I didn't get beat up, the bike might have got burned, you know. And you know, you don't do that. You don't piss off the biker community, because the biker community now is everybody from attorneys, lawyers, all the way down to the 1%ers.
Well, it's like being in the Marine Corps. Everybody knows everybody.
Right. You know, and I lived through that. But the week prior to that, we were at a Heartstrings for Heroes fundraiser. And that's where the pictures that everybody has came from. Those pictures were from that event. There's an amputee and another wheelchair-bound vet that we have their information, you know, about what they're doing as well. You know, because that's a thing that's on tour now, Heartstrings for Heroes. You know, they're They're going across the country to raise awareness for paralyzed and amputee vets. As you know, and they support the fallen police and firefighters as well. It's not just a military-based organization. They're, you know, they cover first responders as well. So
right. Yeah. Let me ask you, now, obviously, Phil and I are both vets, as we did state. What prompted you to step up? Because you have a Herculean task ahead of you. First of all, you're trying to overdo the bad PR, give a new PR, give everything in a positive manner. What motivated you to do all this? May I ask you that question?
Yes, sir. Me personally, I'm a disabled vet. The VA system has been good to me. And we have people that are coming back from the new theater of operations that are more messed up than the people that came back out of NOM. And their voices are being heard, but they're not being adequately heard. And as a veteran, I feel it's my duty to the other veterans to pay it forward. You know, if a vet needs a meal, if I can feed him, I'm going to feed him. If he needs a place to stay, I'm going to find him a place to stay.
Right.
Because if we forget our veterans, then we lose the whole country, because that's how we were founded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the country was founded on people that didn't want to be ruled by a tyrannic government, you know, and, you know, we started with veterans and we're going to
end
up with
we had George Washington. When he was president, they said, what do you want to be? You want to be called king? You want to be called emperor? He said, no, that's not what America's about. If you wish to call me something, be president. He refused to be called king or emperor. That's not what this great country was about. You know, at my shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles, my brother Mike Kennedy and I own it. Philip would tell you that. Philip's down there on Sundays. We have a lot of vets that come down that post-traumatic stress, they're not making it. They're trying to do some therapy at the VA, you know, playing musical instruments, and they're trying different therapy. It's not working for some of them. If by any chance you had a motorcycle, especially if you're a Harley rider, before you went overseas and you came back and all these changes going on, by being around the motorcycles, by osmosis, slowly it comes back into a better time. Slowly you can appreciate, a carburetor, an exhaust pipe. Philip and I can make small steps, but once these guys start stepping, they improve so quickly. But they come into our shop. I'm not saying they're quite catatonic, but they got a goddamn attitude from Jump Street, and it takes them a while for them to get through it. The motor, I don't push them. We say hello. That's all I say to you. Hello. That's it. They will come and talk when they're ready. But again, being around the motorcycles, having the Harley starting up and everything, and being around the parts, it's done wonders at our shop.
Right. And that's why I decided to take on this task, because, you know, I've had two knee replacements. I need back surgery, but I'm not doing that. And I personally ride a Goldwing. And, you know, that's my choice. And the motorcycle...
You know, wait, let me interrupt you. It doesn't matter to us what you ride, as long as you ride.
You're right. But that's what I'm saying. And this motorcycle is, you know, it's a Harley Davidson. It's American classic. And it pays homage to everybody from World War I to present theater operations.
Right.
You know, and it is still in need of some things that, you know, I don't know where we're gonna get them with, you know, the Second Amendment coming out the way that it is, but we'll make it all happen. I mean, you know, I need dummy grenades. I need dummy smoke canisters. We're always needing 50 cal rounds because they fall off the wheels, you know, and people take them off if we're not looking. I mean, you know, it had more stuff on it that mysteriously disappeared, you know, while the sheriffs had it. But, you know, that wasn't the sheriff's fault, you know. Then the thing with the bike is we just want to put it out and pay it forward. I mean, you know, let's not forget a vet. Thank a vet, you know. Buy him a meal, you know, because the guys that came back from Vietnam, they were forgotten. And we don't need that ever to happen again.
Do you remember when 1969, 1970, when everybody's coming back from Vietnam, I'm here in San Diego, our local VA hospital, again, San Diego's a big city, our local VA hospital was so overwhelmed, we had people in gurneys sleeping in the hallways. We were not prepared to take care of our soldiers coming back after Vietnam.
We're still not prepared.
No, we're not prepared now, but it was such a shock for me to see the my friends that came back all messed up and all that. It was just like they, we forgot all the lessons during Korea. We forgot the lessons we learned in Korea. We went to Vietnam. We keep forgetting to look at the past so we know what to do. We need to train our soldiers, in my opinion, all the way into basic training. Back in basic training, we need to prepare them for these things may happen. This is how we're going to deal with it. I never received any training. I never received shit. This is what you're going to do, bang. What to do if you get captured, what you do, nothing, nothing, nothing. I don't know, and I could be wrong because obviously I'm not a new veteran at all. I don't think we're preparing our men and, now we, I should say, I gotta stop saying men, our men and women, correct?
Men and women.
Yes, we have women vets out there now, and we have to start accept the fact that, that, you know what, that's tough for people in my generation. I can see you walking down the street in a uniform, missing an arm or a leg, and I look you right in the face, and I say, God bless you for what you've done for this wonderful country. Now, in my age, my generation, I see a woman vet walking down the street, missing an arm or a leg, I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable because I was raised that we're supposed to take care of our women. Now, the women that want to fight and all that, and they have their right now, that's their own choice. I'm just saying, my generation, and tell me if I'm wrong out there, but my generation, we're uncomfortable having our women coming home missing arms and legs. How do you feel about that?
It's part of what's gone on since women have served. People don't realize that women have been serving for decades in the military, and they were the first forgotten ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in World War II, all the planes that went to Europe, 95% of those were ferried from the U.S. to Europe by women pilots.
That's correct.
Women pilots.
You know, and where did those women end up after World War II? They went back to their house. They went to their homes, you know, and they had issues, and there was no support for them.
You know, I want to tell you that. The
women not getting support has been around, and it was truly a male dominated issue, but now it's more mainstream that the women are going into combat now. They just blessed that.
Yes, we're discussing it, we're facing it, and eventually it's going to become more commonplace. The next generation will not have that problem. But I'm telling you for a fact that my generation, or maybe me, I'm still uncomfortable seeing a wounded warrior woman. And that's my own hang-up, I understand that. But let me repeat something very quickly. A while back, we had a Vietnam veteran who did not get his unit citation, and he was at the Veterans Retirement Home in San Diego. They called me up and they said, Bill, we'd like you to come down. This vet's going to get a citation. I said, what are you talking about me for? I got long gray hair down my back and a big gray beard. What are you? Bill, we'll have two captains there. But when they finish speaking, we'd like you to speak for a while because the captains will be Marine captains and, you know, very formal, and the whole presentation will be very, very stiff. We'd like for you to come in and just kind of talk to the people. And I said, certainly. So I started off by saying, as soon as the captains were done, I said, gentlemen, I wish you'd look out into our audience, because what you are today, you're looking at what you're going to be like tomorrow in a couple of years, long hair and beards. And everybody was laughing. It was a good little thing. They wanted me to meet a woman in the veteran's home. She was an army nurse during World War II, captured by the Japanese, spent, I don't know, I can't remember now how much time in internment camp. What kept her going was that she was an army nurse, and the Japanese, while they had the first aid packages, they weren't giving the women the first aid packages. So she learned through the native women there how to use the roots and herbs and all that stuff like that to try to keep all of her fellow Americans alive. And she said that her job by keeping everybody alive kept her alive. Now, I'm saying this because every time she said the word Japanese, she spit. She couldn't say Japanese without the hatred coming through. Not the hatred of the war, the hatred of the fact that they had the Red Cross packages and they wouldn't give her the medicines to help save other Americans in the prison, the POW camp. So I'm always amazed that we don't hear stories about that. But this woman survived only because she felt she had to help the other Americans and the other allies in the POW camp. Sorry, guys, I deviated a bit too much on that. But we do have many, many, many examples of women that are just doing fantastic things. So for all you women out there, we certainly do applaud you. And I think we all agree that not enough nice being said.
We have a woman from San Diego that would like to.
She's going to yell at me as I get off his back. Who do we got here today? 619-578. Tell me who you are. Where are you calling from? Welcome to the show.
Well, I know it's been a while since I've been on the show, but hello, everybody.
Hello, hello. Please tell us who you are and where you're from, Fran.
Let's see. Does San Diego sound familiar?
That's close enough to me. People from all over want to know. And, Fran, wasn't the weather just beautiful today?
Hey, you know what? I only wish I could have had the time to actually go out and enjoy it fully.
Fran, we were just talking a little bit about, you know, the military. We had a gentleman on the phone. He's talking about he's got this beautiful custom motorcycle, tribute to the military. And we deviated a little bit from his motorcycle. We'll get right back to it again, though. Talking about the role the women play in the military and the fact that women are going to play a much, much more stronger role in the military in the future. Is there anything you want to comment on that, please?
Well, first off, it goes back to what you, I had caught the tail end of what you were talking about with the nurse and keeping people alive. Women have been in combat for years. And if you actually go back, they were the nurses that kept all of them alive back then in World War II. They're still serving. They may not be out there carrying a gun. They probably did a time or two. But they've been out there in the front lines for a long time. Now it is actually going to be given the opportunity for those who wish to do what they know how to do best. Unfortunately for me, I was a military reject. Because when I tried to sign up, all they had was, you could be a nurse, girlie, or you could be a secretary. And I was like, you know me. Can you imagine seeing me as a nurse or as a secretary?
You could be anybody you want to be. I know you much too well for that. I have never doubted any task you decide to take on. I've never had a doubt you can complete it.
The task that I wanted was being in the motor pool and fixing engines. I mean, hell, that's what I did all that time anyway. And they said, oh, well, no, women can't do that. It's like, oh, wow. Okay. And then they figured out that even though I scored well, they didn't have a position or a place they could put me. And they said a few other words, like, obstinate and belligerent and a few other words, and they said, you're not a match for any of us. I said, oh, okay. So I was not one of their military delegates, as people. But you know what? Women have been there for years, and it's time for them to actually recognize the fact that women have actually been out there for years taking care of doing whatever needed to be done And I don't think women were actually acknowledged in the service until they started the Vietnam Wall. Because once they started the Vietnam Wall, then they started bringing in, well, this person, that person, and this person is still missing, and all of those types of things. And they actually started looking at the people who were doing service. So, yes, our women that are out there, I salute you. I wish I could have worked next to you, but apparently I wasn't one of their kind. Besides, I would have dug the ditch if you told me why I had to, not because I had to and refill that stupid hole again.
Fran, you may not have known that I was actually drafted. I certainly did not join any organization. I was drafted, and while I was drafted, they wanted to know what skills I have, and I said, I don't think I have any skills at all. Well, what can you offer the military? And I thought for a while, and I really came up with what I thought was a good solution. Let me go to Washington, D.C., and ride the Harley-Davidsons in the parades. He said, no. They said, no.
No.
Thought you should have put my talents to use. But they said, nah, that's not going to happen. So I ended up somewhere else. But, you know.
Yeah, well. They just don't see our particular talents. And we have quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sheriff's department, or actually the highway patrol, actually troopers, in New York, even though I was past age, were willing to bend over and have me in, even though I was past their accepted age requirement. And I thought that was pretty cool. But by the time that I was actually able to go into the troopers, they said, well, you know, other things had taken a turn. And you know how life goes.
Yeah.
Everything is a turn.
Did you get a chance to see the motorcycle that up on the screen at all yet?
No, I just got home. Unfortunately,
Fran, because Philip hasn't put it up yet.
I can't put it up there. I put it on the blog.
Okay, I'll be on the blog later on. Okay, that's the question I had there. Here we have an organization again. They're trying to by traveling this motorcycle, travel around and support and endorse the military, all the military causes and all that.
Well, they're trying to repair the damage done by the asshole that took $2.1 million.
You give them the whole story. Yeah.
There was a guy, in the East Coast, and he was running around with a bike taking money and charging people to take a picture or stand next to the bike and everything. And the people that made out checks were the ones that he turned in. And correct me if I'm wrong, Tyrell, wasn't it about $1,300 or $1,500?
Yeah, they turned in, yeah.
And the rest, he made almost like $100,000 per almost every year, I guess.
Oh, my.
He made more. He made more.
No, he made $2.1 million before he got caught. But he was making like $100,000 a year, so he'd been at it a while.
Well, there's a double whammy. First of all, he's taking money. But second of all, and maybe even more important, he's ruined the public trust.
Right. And that's why this gentleman...
Well,
to try and to,
not
we're
only
gonna,
the
we're going to try
the,
and help them redo that.
Well, what do you need to be? What do you need to have redone?
Well, you talk to the gentleman and ask him. Say, hey, he's live right now, friend.
He's live right now from Florida. He's with DAV Chapter 67 out of Brooksville.
Say hello, friend.
Hello, darling.
Hello.
What needs to be done? What do you need to be redone?
We're trying to rebuild the trust that goes with this body.
Well, the trust will have to come from individuals knowing and seeing us and saying, okay, there's crooks. Did you vote somebody into office? Did you trust them, or did you just vote them in office? And did he steal from you? Well, you know what? There's a bad apple in every bushel. That happened to be one. Now, let's pick up the pieces and kick ass and start where we belong.
And that's what we're trying to do.
But what you say that you need, other than trust, what else needs to be done?
Well, Fran, what we're doing is we're going to post the pictures, and I'm going to put all their information up on the blog. And today we had 90-plus thousand hits, Bill. So right now I'm just posting what countries we're in around the world right now. But basically what we're going to do is try and get this all to where we can help these guys turn it around. Because this gentleman took it to a bike show last week and almost got killed. People found out this guy screwed over a lot of people, and when they seen the bike,
they assumed he was the same person.
Yeah, basically.
They assumed that was him or related to him.
Right.
Which bike is it?
It's that one that the guy had all the military stuff on it. These guys redid it. I'll try and send you a picture later. I'm kind of running behind a little bit on that, but I was waiting for permission to do that, and he gave us permission on the air, so they'll be up. They'll either be up tonight or tomorrow.
So just to give everybody an idea, tell us some of the countries, if you would, sir, that are listening to us.
Denmark, Brazil, Russia, New Zealand, France, the United Kingdom, Germany.
To name a few.
Canada, the United States.
These are people that may not listen to the show tonight. They may listen to it tomorrow. So what we're saying may have ramifications. So more and more people get interested in finding out.
Right. And I have all the info.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me another website. That I can put up to that for that. And let me see. I mean, I got to locate that one real quick.
Hmm. Well,
I can email everything to you again. It's no biggie.
Oh, no, I've got it right here. I just had to pull it up. I've got four or five windows open, and I'm trying to keep somebody at bay here who's trying to disrupt the show as they usually do. But,
you know, it's interesting because you know that I generally have a tough time, but tonight, not only did I have a tough time, it would do, and you're listening to the voice and nothing. I couldn't, the only thing I could do was read what was on the blog, that was, you know, the chat, and type on the chat, but I couldn't get anything on the show, I couldn't log in, I couldn't do anything.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, so far, everything's going good because right now we got people in Bolivia, Taiwan, the Ukraine, and Argentina.
To name a few more.
As well as India and Saudi Arabia, the Ukraine, France, Sweden.
You know, we're kind of worried about, we've not heard Poland. Anything from our friend, from one guy from China.
Zealand. Tuesday, Bill.
Oh, good, because, you know, if they catch him listening to the show,
he's done.
It's bad news.
Yeah, Brazil and Denmark. So we're pretty much all over the place tonight,
mm-hmm.
as usual.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you what type of support group you have to beside yourself putting for displaying this motorcycle?
Tyrell?
I've got, you know, a couple of older vets that help, you know,
mm-hmm.
when I need it. But right now, you know, I've spent a lot of time and money and energy getting the bike where it rolls straight, you know, before it was 8 inches out of line with a sidecar on it. So, you know, it didn't roll real well. And, you know, it loads itself and, you know, we just take the bike out and try to have a good time with it. You know?
Darrell, is there any motorcycle shop, independent or dealership that's helped you that you like to give a plug to on the air?
Yeah, Against the Wind Trikes and Cycles was helping us. You know, they're an independent. And Jack over there, you know, he's been fair with us about it all, so.
Well, you might want to send me that info and we'll put him on there as people that are helped that are seeing what's going on. And helping you turn that around, because obviously the guy helping you, he's interested in turning it around too.
And knowing that other people get recognized for it, that may help you with more support in the future. So let's try to get the information, get that word out to what a good shop that is for you.
Yep.
If also you can give us something that we can all put on our Facebook, that we can actually get people, you know how they have them damn causes?
Well, Fran, they have a Facebook page.
Okay. If you can also, when you send the picture, send the Facebook page link or whatever, so that I can link up to it and get everybody else to link up to it?
Sure.
Okay. I do try to do my part. It may
not
be
much. You got a pen? I'll let Tyrell tell everybody now.
Oh, shit. A pen. Okay.
Go ahead, Tyrell.
That means something that writes.
It's Vets, V-E-T-S, War, W-A-R, Bike, B-I-K-E.
One more time, please.
Vets, War, Bike, on Facebook.
Okay, Vets, War,
Bike.
Bike.
On
Bike.
Facebook.
Facebook, okay.
Okay.
Yes.
And then let's see if anybody else got any questions. Fran, I'm going to mute you, but we'll bring you back. So hold on.
That works for me. I'm eating.
Nora and Riel, you guys have any questions for this?
No, not now off the bat, but all I can do is I wish you all the best, and I mean the best. And hopefully people will be recognized for what they've done for this country. Our country, your country, we've got some great people out there that need to be taken care of. We got future women coming into the military. They cannot be shadows. They have to be put on pedestals where they belong and to be taken care of, you know. They got to be recognized. I mean, like I said earlier, I don't know if I was cut off there, but Queen Elizabeth, in World War II, she was working in a motor pool, believe it or not. And she's surrounded with security guards and royalty and everything. But she did her time. She was working on trucks. I got pictures of her working on World War II trucks. So, like that young lady that was talking earlier, and they told her that they didn't have anything for her. That's a crock of shit. They could have found her something she was good at.
Well, Nora, did you want to chime in?
I missed a little bit. I'm sorry. I know what the call was on Tuesday because I had asked questions. Is he still with us or no?
He's still here.
Okay. I went and I sent a friend request. Is there anything on the page that shows for, as we talked about on Tuesday, in regards to reaching out and helping veterans without going through the VA?
Well, you got your service officers at the DAV and the VFWs. They can help the vets right
there.
Yeah,
that's what it was, the DAV. Do you have, like, a listing on that page for the DAVs possibly, or how do you go about looking that up?
Where are you at, dear?
On the south side of Chicago, right.
Give me a second. Let me go look real quick.
Because there's a friend of mine that could use help, and I do what I can, you know what I mean? But if there's other means that he needs that I'm not aware of, at least in case if he doesn't know, I could put him in that direction.
Let me log on and look real quick in Chicago.
I'm sorry.
But just so people know, we're on the West Coast. Tyrell's in Florida. Tyrell's calling from Canada. Fran's in San Diego. And Nora's on the south side of Chicago. So we have a pretty diverse group, coast to coast. We do this every Sunday.
Somewhat better weather than here.
It's pretty much, we do this every Tuesday and Thursday, and It's your show. Without you guys, we wouldn't be a show. So, thank you for calling, participating.
Thank you for having us.
The last thing I want to do is talk to Philip for 2 hours.
I know, right?
Always, of course, about motorcycles. Primary concern in life.
Oh, since I have a pen and paper handy, what is your thing for your shop, the website?
For what?
For Bill's website, for his shop. What is that?
Blondie, it's Kennedy's Custom.
I'm sorry. is that K-E-N-N-E? Okay, please.
I think it's for you. K-E-N-N-E.
Okay.
Who sees? There's a name without shame, that's Kennedy.
Okay, Kennedy Custom Cycle.
Bill and Mike Kennedy.
Cycle. Okay, and is that a .com or something?
.com, Blondie.
Okay. Thank you, colored hair.
I was trying to find any information for you, but
I've got a phone number for you.
There you
okay.
go.
I appreciate that.
312.
Okay.
980.
980. Okay.
4242.
4242, and that's a DAV, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate that, and I'm sorry that you had to do that. I try to do what I can for my friends that have been in the military, and sometimes they're not always fully aware of what is out there because they don't ask and they don't seek it. You know what I mean?
I remember.
Seek to go get the information. So I do what I can to, you know, help if I get the information.
I'm getting a few comments about my singing. I'm sorry you people don't appreciate it. However, I shall continue to sing, as I always continue to sing, because I'm only here to please me.
I thought you were fabulous.
Well, thank
you very
much.
You sounded like you were from the Mickey Mouse Club.
A nice
person. You know, like how they used to sing. Yeah.
It was live. Remember it. But it's
Irishmen love to sing.
Yeah, it'll be the best war bike
and drink.
It'll be the best war bike on Facebook.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is I'll put this info up in there again. To email Tyrell. I can put that email address that email address for you up, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Here we go. And if you have any questions, there's Tyrell's link in the for his email, and I'll give you the other information for the how to get a hold of him. And then if anybody else wants to call in, it's 347-826-7753.
You know, Philip, we have a program coming out of the VA hospital soon, going from the VA hospital for the paralyzed vets. Maybe we contact Tyrell, send him a flyer back or something like that. He can send a little information, and we can pass some of the flyers out at our event out here in California.
That's correct.
So we'll see if we can get some of the word out here so that people in this area will know that you're one of the good guys, Terrell.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Terrell, for looking up that number.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give everybody that website again, the fourthstatemedia.com. I'll put that in there for you guys, too, also. And
okay.
I'm going to put in the address in you're in Brooksville, Florida?
Yep, Brooksville, Spring Hill, you know, it's like being a suburb of L.A., you know.
And the DAV 67, they're looking, they want to rebuild the nation's trust with this bike and everything that was going on. And they help about 900 plus vets a year, Bill.
In what capacity?
in whatever capacity we can, ranging from help with their claims to if we can help with a power bill, with a housing situation, you know, that's what the DAAV is for.
Terrell, let me ask you a question here. Obviously, you've got a few years on you as I do. Do you feel that the younger vets coming back are as involved in helping the vets, or do you feel those of us that got a few years and we can see the bigger picture, maybe the overall picture, those of us, because when I came home, I wasn't that involved in the military or anything, but every year now, Philip and I have a tremendous need to help. So I'm asking you, do you see the younger guys home as being so protective of the military, helping each other, or do you think that some of us older vets are doing only?
The younger guys aren't seeing the need for the DAVs, the VFWs, you know, those.
Well, they're in that mindset that they don't need anybody right now.
Right.
You know, Bill, when you were incapacitated a month and a half ago, they finally convinced you to go to the VA because you said you didn't need it. Give it to guys that need it. Well, some of us need it and some of us don't.
That's true. I came out of the military in 1971, discharged positive and all that stuff. I never bought a house from the VA. I never joined the VA. I wouldn't go to the VA hospital. I felt, because I'm working so hard, I'll pay my own way. Maybe I can help some other vet. But that's the number one reason I have helped the veterans, because we have seen so many vets who are not as fortunate as Philip and I are. Philip and I are paying our bills. We're lucky we're paying our bills. But one big major accident, that could end it for Philip and I. Our families, our careers, everything.
Well,
I had that
big major accident.
Is that where you get those scars on your face from?
Yeah, that was $387,000 worth of setback.
What was this?
When I got hit on my bike.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought something else happened to you over the weekend. I go, holy shit. Oh, my God, you kept a secret from me? anyway, so Philip and I have constantly said that we didn't appreciate the military when we got out. In fact, I didn't want to give a damn thing to do with the military. My concern, though, is I do stop by the VFW halls and all that. I don't see the younger generation in there. I see the older crowd, and I'm wondering the future for the disabled vets and the paralyzed vets and the even the veterans organization. Do you think there's going to be a future? Do you think the younger guys are going to come around, or how do you feel about that, buddy?
Yeah, they're coming around. It's just they're like we all were when we got out, very prideful, you know. They're coming around. You know, I met a couple of young troopers at the Heartstrings for Heroes, and they're coming around. I mean, you know, they really didn't realize that, you know, the DAV they were welcome to be at, or the VFW, or, you know, the American Legion. You know, that they didn't realize that, you know, they could be members.
I know my father was with the American Legion or the Veterans Post, Veterans Hall. But when I came out, as you just said, I really didn't want much to do with anybody. I had a just leave me the fuck alone, be honest, the attitude about it. But lately for you and I, it's been some time.
Well,
Philip, we've had to help.
Same thing with me, Bill.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying, yeah.
I'm a member of the American Legion.
Yeah.
Would you like to read that right there?
I would like that. I can't read that this distance, so I'm sorry. You can move it to me. Hang on a second. I don't give Philip much credit. As you know, I like breaking his balls every chance I get. However, I want everybody to know that the Disabled American Veterans Commanders Club, Disabled American Veterans, in grateful appreciation to Philip Hennigan, he's a bronze leader of California, this award has been bestowed in appreciation for your generosity because you never forgot the price paid for freedom and for your steadfast loyalty to our American heroes, Larry A. Pulitz, Paul Zinn, I'm sorry, whatever I said that,
Paulson.
National Commander, Paul Zinn, the National Commander. So, Philip, let me tell you something right now. The work you do with the VA, I applaud you for that with them. But it took you a while to get back on track with the vets too, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't until I think Philip and I found ourselves comfortable with our lifestyle that we turn around and say, okay, maybe we need to help other people. I try to convince young people to go to the different post-veterans post, the VFW stuff. I have a hard time getting them to go in there.
I mean, you know, Bill, we have the American Legion guys, post 146.
Right.
And the guys from Escondido, I forget their number. But
149, I think, but yeah.
Know, when they come, and they might get two or three visitors. That's it.
Right.
And that place is mobbed with young guys.
Hmm.
They just, they feel they don't need anybody right now.
You know, and it, that's just the way it is, you know. The some of the young guys aren't, you know, getting that we're out there to help, you know. We're all vets to help one another.
Yeah. That's sometimes.
Yeah, but unfortunately, a lot of them don't see that, you know. That's sad.
It took Philip and I a very long time to get over the anger, to get over, which I felt pretty much me and the military, although I certainly had another problem with the military, it just, when I get out, I'm going to put it behind me. And it took me a while to realize I need to help other people. By my helping other people, I'm helping myself. So that took me a while to get over that point there.
Fran,
and I was mad at everybody at the time.
Fran has a question.
Fran, talk to us.
And Ryan's up after Fran. But go ahead, Fran.
It's not a question so much as a comment about when you're saying about going into the American Legions and so forth. John and I only went to the American Legions when there was a bike event or something that was ending there or a festivity. The only time that he and I actually physically joined it is when they actually had the motorcycle group that was there. And I think it has to do with you have to feel part of something in order to, how do you say, to go. I mean, it's like, why do I go to an ABATE meeting and not an MMA? Or I go to MMA, or I go to an AMA. There has to be something for you as a draw to go and stay in that group.
And that's common. That's a good point there, because in the past, there weren't motorcycle people at the veterans or places like that, and I always felt like these aren't my people. Not that being a motorcycle makes me special, but I just felt these weren't my people. I can go anywhere with a few motorcycles, and I'm very comfortable. But when I was going to some of the VFW halls and all that, they were just pounding the beers away. And they weren't, you know, they were all short hair, clean cut. And I just didn't feel I fit in there. It wasn't until later, as you said, when they started getting some motorcycle organizations, like the American Legion Riders, et cetera, et cetera. That's when I started feeling a little more comfortable with the whole program.
As well as the Patriot Guard Riders.
Yes, and I never want to, I want to publicly say I think the Patriot Guard Riders are one of the best organizations in America. If you don't know the Patriot Guard Riders, I just want to briefly say they are members of the American Legion Riders, as you are, Philip.
Right.
Patriot Guard Riders are an offshoot of that. When we have the remains of these young troops coming home, they're up there and they're escorting the bodies to the families. And of equal importance, if not more important, when we have the funerals for these young men and women, the Patriot Guards are in front of the funeral of cemeteries. They are blackened. We are having too many of these Protestant ministers over here that are protesting the war. I'm saying, and the Patriot Guard is saying, let's give the family time to bury their child. Let's give them time to grieve. Once the family leaves the cemetery, I don't care. As an American, you have the right to protest the war. When the family is in the cemetery, give the family some space. And I know the American Legion Riders, and I know for a fact, Big Bob Murray and a bunch of those boys, he's standing at the entrance. Nobody is going to walk in there. So what you got to understand, David, Bob is not trained to hurt people, because, again, Bob says that these protesters, these war protesters, they're Americans. We have to give them their right, too. But for God's sakes, let the family in the cemetery grieve. And that's one of the reasons I have so much respect for the Patriot Guard Riders.
We have I muted Fran and,
okay.
And brought Ryan on.
Ryan, hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Life is good. Life is good. Everything's hitting on all cylinders tonight.
Well, that's a good deal.
It's 70 degrees outside, and today 72 degrees.
Light breeze off the ocean.
I wore a light Levi jacket to work. You know, days like that make me happy.
Right. Well, I'll trade you places. It was pretty damn cold the last few days out here.
No, I'm not going to trade any places.
Woke up, I want to say 2 days ago, 6 inches of snow, thinking, what
No. Talking about the military, we're talking about the Veterans Affairs, we're talking about this gentleman here who's got a motorcycle he's trying to attribute to the military. Did you get any of that part of that conversation?
I did. I've been actually listening for a while, just been trying to get things done around the house. I think that, you know, getting that bike back out there and making everybody realize that it's another individual that's behind it now, or a group of individuals, to kind of get rid of that nasty taste in everybody's mouth from that last guy.
Well, we have Terrell still on the line here. Listen, is there any questions?
This is actually a DAV chapter bill, Chapter 67 of Brooksville, Florida.
Okay.
All the chat room. As well as they're on Facebook as a Vets War Bike.
Okay, and I'm going to try to find that right now. I'm on Facebook as we speak. Vets War Bike?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. You know, I got to tell you, man, I don't envy you trying to get everything turned back around after that last guy. That's not going to be a fun task, and kudos for you guys stepping up and trying to get that straightened out.
Well, it's either we turn it around and fix it, or we cut it up for junk, you know. It's too pretty of a bike with the sidecar and everything to cut it up for junk.
Absolutely.
You know,
I showed Bill those pictures. What did you think of that, Bill?
Well, the bike interested me. The sidecars would intrigue me. I actually thought that was done really nice. I like that, what do you call it, the cockpit? No, no, what's the...
Sidecar.
Sidecar. We got the cockpit. I mean, it looked to me like... I thought the instruments, everything was good. The motorcycle was interesting, but the sidecar, I actually found I was spending more time studying with them.
Yeah, I need to set something straight, guys. It just showed up on Facebook that somebody thinks we're raffling it off. Well, we're not raffling it off, you know.
They heard you mention that, so that's probably why they thought that, because people are listening to this all over the world. And some, like, we have a guy in London that gets up at 4 in the morning to listen to the show. So
yeah,
they might have heard you say that earlier, and they didn't catch the whole thing. They just heard that maybe you were going to have a rap. They wanted to jump.
No, we're not going to raffle it off. I mean, it's too gorgeous of a bike to even contemplate that. And I know I've got a long road to go to fix it, but that's what it's
like. Yeah. Beautiful bike. Great paint job on it. I'm loving the... Is that 50 cal bullets in there wrapped around stuff?
Yeah, there's 50 cal wrapped around the final drive. There's 20 millimeters on the front wheel. There's M60s feeding the 240 Bravo that's in the middle of the handlebars. There's 5.56 strung all over it.
I don't know about trying to get some fake grenades, but I'm pretty sure that the two Seawizes I just welded on a ship in the last couple days, I'm pretty sure if I talk to those sailors, I can get some of those inner 50 cals.
Is that something you might need, Terrell?
Just anything. I mean, you know, right now I have a shortage of coins, you know, challenge coins, because Mr. Harris had quite a few coins on the bike that were his, and everything that was associated with Robert Harris and Eugene Paul has been removed from the bike. You know, so I've got openings for almost probably 10 challenge coins, you know, because he had them on the handlebars, on the gas caps. He had them in prominent display on the cockpit. You know, so challenge coins would always be welcome. You know, we'll always find room for challenge coins.
Do you have any rear brakes on that sidecar, or just the motorcycle itself got the brakes?
Just the motorcycle itself has the brakes.
Because where I'm looking, I couldn't see any connections in it. That was my curiosity.
Do you mind if I start sharing these pictures around all over the place? Links back to your page. Is that okay? Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you do that, Ryan, what I'd like you to do is you can go on the blog and you can take that story that's there, and then you can write a little comment about how these guys out of Brooksville, Florida, is chapter 67 of the Disabled American Vets. And,
good guys.
And they're good guys. They inherited the ball, and they're trying to turn it around with that. That way, that way you won't get a lot of derogatory comments. Somebody that got somebody that got stiffed by this guy won't, you know what I mean? Use your page to sound.
Okay, gotcha. I'm looking right here. Is that on the For the State Media page you have posted?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I will copy that and get that going right now.
I mean, Bill and I are looking at this thing. I looked at them all the other day, but Bill's like in awe right now.
I'm trying to figure out little details on it. Each time I'm looking around, I'm finding something else that I missed when I first did it. It's pretty.
Well, I've been the caretaker of the bike for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I mess with it every day.
They don't give you any shit about carrying that shotgun.
I looked at that shotgun a second ago. Holy shit.
They don't give you any shit about carrying a shotgun, do they?
Nope.
Okay, good. You know,
because all the weapons that are on it are airsoft. You know, they're all high-end airsoft, but they're airsoft. But the bullets are, you know, D-milled rounds. But they don't give us, you know, the sheriff's department here doesn't give us any flack about it because the sheriff's department knows the bike.
Right.
You know, it's like I said the other night, the main thing is, you know, some lowlife took the .45 that goes on a holster, but, you know, I've had the bike for 4 months, and every time I look at the bike, I see something different, you know.
I mean, we're looking at it right now. We're seeing all kinds of different stuff. Mm-hmm. The only
stuff is tucked under stuff, you know.
Right. I mean, this thing is very impressive.
It's type of motorcycle or type of a work of art, whereas you see from different angles, you see a whole different everything in there. And every time you see it a second, third time, you see things you missed, I believe.
Yeah, and while we're talking, I'm unloading stuff now so I can post these.
And that's why I'm saying, I mean, it started out as a fantastic thing, and it just went south. You know, it went way south, so why destroy this work of art on something that went south? Let's rebuild the trust and rebuild the history and push forward with it.
Right.
And you know, okay, that's what we're going to do.
I mean, the detail in the painting alone is fabulous.
You know, I want to say something because I've been involved in a lot of organizations, and I get a lot of heat, I get a lot of flack, I get a lot of criticism. So I like this. Oh shit! So I like to say this to you to help you remember this here. Whatever you do, people are going to criticize what you're doing. The people that criticize you are the people that's not doing a goddamn thing, but they're quick to criticize you. So if you keep telling yourself, if you think you're right and you go ahead, you're going to be all right. People that don't want to do anything, that don't like what you're doing. So don't be thin-skinned. You've heard me say that so many times.
Right. Well, you say that every day.
We get, why'd you let the person on the air? We get criticized for everything with that. We're not thin-skinned. If we think it's right, it's right. I hope you have enough intestinal fortitude to put up with this. You have an uphill battle, but again, if by your mannerism and your attitude you show people what you're doing, people will believe you just based upon whether the fact you're a good man or not.
Well, that's why we're doing what we do, you know. And, you know, that's, you know, if we have any more questions or concerns, you know, feel free to call me.
Yeah, I'm loading a bunch of this up right now. And anybody that wants to get a hold of this gentleman, did you end up getting Eunice's phone number?
Yes, sir. I talked to her today.
Okay. Yeah, she's on the line. Let me bring her in. Oh, Fran out of San Diego, everybody that I put on mute because I was going to bring one person in at a time. But Fran says she wants to know what kind of coins, what year and size are they looking for? And then she says this story is kind of like build a field of dreams, and if they come, they will believe it when it happens.
There you go. So. I think she's a little confused about the coins. You're talking about a challenge coin or a commemorative coin, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think she's thinking you meant like a monetary coin.
Right.
Could you explain about what you mean by the coin, please?
The challenge coins are something that military personnel get, you know, when they do something worthy or they...
The other day, Bill, from the captain of the Macon Island.
That's a ship?
It's an OHD. It takes the Marines, has the AV-8s, the LCACs, everything on it. Takes the troops where they need to go and stuff, and I got one the other day.
Did it give you a special award because the ship didn't sink, because you didn't put any holes in it?
Yeah, right.
You're so grateful that the ship's not keeping the water out?
Right.
You want to thank you? Okay.
Absolutely. Frick. But, no. And then we have Eunice right here. Hello, Eunice.
How you doing?
Good.
It's a fine day.
How you doing?
Good. We have Tyrell on the line. He said he talked to you today.
Yeah, right. Tyrell might call those gentlemen I told you, and they were all excited about it. So... I gave me a number, and they said they'll get in touch with you over the weekend.
Okay.
So how's that? See, Phil, I always fall through what I say.
Hello, that girl.
Yeah, and once we get done with this, I want you to tell Bill a story about the hospital, but...
Oh, Jesus. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyrone, they're good guys. That's... You know, a lot of them rode bikes. Some of them are up in their age there, but I'll tell you something. They're all for it. And they heard the story about this nice gentleman that screwed a lot of people. And they're very, very upset over that, you know. And they didn't know what they could do, but now they feel they can do something. So they'll get in touch with you. I gave them your number. And they'll get in touch with you this weekend. So if there's anything else I can do, you know, they're going to go to the vet's hospital. Huh?
I've got your number if I need you, Miss Eunice.
Oh, I'm there for you, kid. You know, I try to stay true to my word. And if I don't, I get blasted by these guys, right?
Absolutely.
Get my eye on you, little girl.
I know you do. Listen, that side bike. Now, did you hear, Bill, that side bike? Now, if
yes.
I come to California, you know, you're going to ride me in a side bike, right?
It's called a sidecar, but what I was thinking, Bill, we get a hold of T-Rod. She can be the monkey on your sidecar.
Oh, my God, no. Honey, just ignore what Philip just said. You do not want to do what he just asked you to do.
Well, tell her what a monkey. See, we have a friend of ours. He has the only Harley Davidson sidecar bike.
He races.
And he races. And the guy that rides on the side of the bike where he just actually hangs off on this little platform,
yeah,
called the monkey.
Ah.
Or you commit to going for a ride on a sidecar.
Yeah.
You're really like a ballast. When the guy's making a radical turn, the sidecars have a tendency to flip. So you have to lean all the way over the side of it, almost dragging your butt in the sand to keep the bike on the...
I can do that.
Well, we'll get with T-Rod then.
Because I'm planning. I'm really planning on getting out to California. I've never been there. I'd love to go. I'm planning on doing that.
Okay.
Standing.
Yeah. And since Bill's building himself a new bike, you can probably get a ride on the new bike.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Finish your new bike up this weekend. It's going to be kind of nice. It's going to be pretty wild. Wild as this beautiful tribute to the military, though, or tribute to America. Not that wild.
Yeah. So sounds great. It really
my bike's
does.
Black. Pretty much black. But it's going to look good,
so,
I promise.
Phil, did Phil tell you I was in the hospital and almost died?
No.
Yeah.
Well, wait. Before you get into that one, Eunice, let us wrap up with Tyrell.
Okay.
And then.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
That's all right. We'll wrap up with him and then we'll bring it right back. Okay.
I want to hear this. Okay.
Okay.
Since you know I have a little hospital story myself, I want to hear what happened. Okay. Let's get back to Tyrell then. Okay.
Yeah. So what I figure is, Bill, we can let Tyrell call Tuesdays or Thursdays as long as he wants, and we'll just keep pumping the south for him.
I like that. And Tyrell, I wonder if this would be. I'm going to impose upon you. Any events you go to, maybe you could send us a flyer. So what I can do is I have myself and my brother, Mike Kennedy. We own Kennedy's Custom Cycles, a Harley-Davidson shop in Oceanside, California. If you can send me any flyers of where this you're going to be at, I will post them on my board so people start seeing what's going on. Even though we're a long way from Florida, I'd still like to start posting that up so people can get an idea. Are you okay with that, buddy?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Oh, before you cut me off,
yeah.
How far are you from Spring Hill?
Spring Hill, California.
I live in.
Huh?
Are you talking to me, Eunice?
Yes, I am. How far are you from Spring Hill?
I live in Spring Hill, dear.
Oh, okay. My sister lives in Spring Hill. And I might be going over this week, so if I am, I'll catch up with you.
Outstanding.
Okay. How's that?
Okay.
Small world.
Let me tell you, Eunice is a trip. Eunice is right there. She's one of the most honest people you meet. She's not afraid to tell you, fuck yourself or whatever, but you'll enjoy that story about the hospital, Bill. But Tyrell, like I was telling Bill, and I said to everybody, if you want to call Tuesday or Thursday, if you...
Okay.
Call intermittently, but again, if you can, any event you're going to, that there's a flyer that you can send over to us.
Make sure we get
the flyer. I
want
to put this in my shop so people can start getting used to seeing the motorcycle at different events and try to give it some, whatever little bit I can do to give you more credibility, sir.
That's not a problem. So, okay, guys, enjoyed the visit. I'll talk to you all on Tuesday and Thursday then.
Small steps today, bigger steps tomorrow, maybe, right?
Yep.
Good deal.
All righty. Y'all have a good evening.
Terrell, thank you for calling. We appreciate sharing your story with us. Where is Eunice's hospital story? I want to hear it.
Oh, God. You're not going to believe this one.
All right. Now,
Wait.
Eunice has been fighting a cold for a while, Bill.
Uh-huh.
And finally, she ended up going to the hospital.
Is it a chest cold?
I don't know.
Okay.
Everything.
Okay.
Everything. I had bronchial, I had the flu, I had everything. And, it just turned into a horror story last week. I mean, this past week, as a matter of fact.
Well, Bill, you know, you were in the hospital. I don't know if you had anybody moaning and hollering all night when you were trying to sleep.
No, I was in a coma. How would I know?
Okay, well, ask Eunice what happened.
Tell us what happened, little girl. I want to hear this.
There was this 30-year-old woman that was like two doors down from me.
Uh-huh.
And what she did, because the doctors changed her medication, she decided she was going to make it miserable for everybody on the floor. So she just held the nurse's buzzer, which it just went beep, 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 beep. They had security, the doctors, everybody go in there, and she just continued doing it. So about 5 o'clock in the morning, with my legs like elephant legs, I gets up out of bed because I couldn't take it anymore, and I went and I knocked on her door. And she said, come in. So I went in, and I said to her, you know, you're not the only person sick on this floor, and would you please stop ringing that buzzer? So she very nonchalantly said to me, go fuck yourself. Well, you know, Bill, nobody tells me to go fuck myself.
No, child.
I says, really? She says, yeah, go fuck yourself. I said, let me tell you something. You ring that fucking buzzer one more time, and I'm coming back and taking the cord and wrapping it around your fucking neck. And I walked out. So she stopped ringing the buzzer. And
kind of like
that was
when you tell me to put that cotton that goes in my ears and my mouth.
No, money. You know, when I was in the hospital, people like you,
So anyways, that was at 5 o'clock. At 5:30, I get a knock on my door. And I said, come in, and it was the sheriff's department down here in Florida. So he goes, Mrs. White, he says, we got a complaint against
Well, that
you.
Was the young guy, right?
No, this was the elderly guy, the elderly
okay.
sheriff. He goes, we got a complaint against you. And I said, oh, really? And he says, yeah, from 22D, you know. He said, did you say this? And she said what I said about, you know, the sick people in the hospital and all that stuff. And I says, yes, I said that. And he says, did you say this? And then he repeated what I had just repeated. I'll put the fucking thing around your neck, you know. And I says, officer, turn on the lights. So he turned the lights on. I says, look at my legs. Because they weren't covered because I couldn't tolerate even a sheet on me, Bill, you know.
Right.
So he says, oh, my God, he says, they look terrible. And I says, look at the color of my hair. I says, I'm a 71-year-old woman. Do you really think I said that? And he goes, oh, no, ma'am. No, I wouldn't think you would say anything like that. So he goes back to her, and he tells her, she's thinking of filing a claim against you for elderly abuse, you know. So that's okay. She doesn't ring the buzzer. It comes 7:30. Another knock comes on the door, and it's the sheriff's department again. And it was a younger guy that come in. You know, they must have switched shifts at 7 o'clock. And he goes through the same spiel. And I said, and the doctor was in with me. And the doctor said, I don't know how this woman could even get out of bed to do that, you know. And I says, but I did get out of bed, and I did go up there. And I says, I did say this to her. I says, but officer, look at me. I'm 71 years old. Do you think I would really do that to that girl?
Work the crowd, girl. Work the crowd.
So he says, I'm going up there, and I'm going to tell her you're pressing charges against her, you know. And the only
right.
way that you won't do it is if she drops her charges against you. So that's how it worked out. But I would have been arrested, Bill.
Unbelievable.
They would have arrested me. So now, that's not the end of the story. The nurses come in all day long. A technician come in to take some blood out. And one of the nurses says, tell her what you did. And I told her, she laughed so hard she pissed her pants. She had to go downstairs. And then the next day when I was getting ready to leave, they all come in and they said to me, give me your card because there's a few people we want to get rid of. They said, you know, I never lied to the cops, did I?
No, not at all.
To them. I just said to them, you know, do you think I did that? You know, I'm asking them. So, but this young girl, she kept coming out to the desk. She'd never ring her buzzer. And they just thought that was funny because they had security and everything going to her. See, so it's nice when you're old and you're wise and you know how to turn the coin around, you know?
No, it's a fact. I'm as
that
healthy as a
fact.
Horse. I tell you, we're places and young club people run up to open the door for me. I don't take that disrespectful. I say thank you very much. If something gets, if I drop something at a big event, some young prospect can run and pick it up. I don't take that offensive at all. You want to spare me from being over? That's fine by me. Or you want to get up and give me your chair? I will take your chair in a heartbeat. That's the type of guy I am. I work to get my age.
Me too. Me too. And you want to know something? And I demand respect, Bill.
That's it.
I always respect people.
Right.
But don't fucking cross me, you know? I mean, I do a class. I don't know if I ever told you this. And it's about...
How to swing a bat?
Pardon?
How to swing a bat?
Well, I can tell them how to swing a bat. This is a group of guys that are court ordered to come to the class for physical abuse, okay? Beating their wives around, their girlfriends, and all that stuff. And the first night that I went, because I'm a volunteer, the first night that I went, I had this I gave him my rules and regulations, you know, and they look at you like, well, what the fuck can she do? She's old, you know. And you have to abide by them. So anyways, this one guy, I'll say his name was Tom. One of the other gentlemen was doing their therapy, and he's talking to somebody else. So I kind of stopped the thing, and I said to Tom, you know, I said, Tom, please, you know, I asked you nicely not for all of you not to do this. Now you're interrupting the guy. So he takes his hand, and he makes a motion near his little private area, and he's jerking it, you know, like telling me to go fuck myself. So I waited till the kid got done, and then I looked at Tom. I says, Tom. He says, yeah, what? I says, you better learn how to beat that fucking prick harder, I says, because you're not going to come that slow. And his face turned beet red, and he took off his watch like he really wanted to just kill me. So I says to him, I think you better go take a break. So he goes out, he takes a break, and when he comes back in, I said to him, you know, Tom, I'm kind of proud of you. He says, yeah, proud of me for what? I says, for not hitting me. I says, but you guys just got to remember one thing. See those little white slips that are in front of you? If they don't get signed, you're in a lot of trouble. And I'm the one that has to sign them. So, lesson taught. And when I left them last year to go back home for the summer, these guys come over and gave me a hug and a kiss and said, you taught me a lot. And really, if you listen to some of the stories, they never knew what it was to have a normal life because their parents, the fathers, are always beating up on the mothers and that. And they bet up on these kids pretty good, too.
Yeah. But
that still doesn't give them the right to do what they've done. But when you don't know the right way of living, Bill, or a happy life, or parents that give you a kiss and a hug and stuff like that, you don't know what it is. You're brought up without feelings.
Yeah.
So it's very tough, you know. And a lot of people, not that I think that they shouldn't go to jail when they're very abusive and that. They should. And I've told these guys that. But you know something? They were never brought up a right way.
No. You know what? I grew up with a tough SOB of a father. Lacked a lot of verbal skills. And when I got married, I told my wife that this is how it's going to be in my house. If I come home from work, and you can see that I'm in a really, really bad mood, get in the car and go out shopping. Come back in about an hour. If I come home and she starts nagging me about the dishwasher or whatever, I'm going to turn around, go back outside, get on my bike, go down the bar for an hour and come back. My theory is if there's only one of us in the house, we can never argue. I never
That's
want
right.
my wife to lose the respect for each other. I come from, my father's a pretty tough SOB. These are not the rules I learned from him. These are the rules I want to live my life by and my children by. No violence.
That's right.
Screaming. Sometimes you're not both ready to communicate. Take a break.
Yep. It's a hard task. It really is. And, you know, when I got married the first time, my husband was a Marine. He was in the service, you know, with in the 60s, 62, around when President Kennedy got killed. And before that, when they had the Cuban crisis, you know, they held every serviceman up with the Cuban crisis. But he was brought up to believe that I was there to cook and clean and to spread the legs.
Right.
The way he was brought up. And I couldn't wear lipstick. I couldn't wear makeup. If I wore lipstick, I had a boyfriend. I mean, it was just total hell. And being the good Catholic girl that I was, every time I left him, I went back to him.
Right.
And, you know, that just didn't work. So after I had my third child by him, she was 9 months old, his girlfriend had her baby the same day I had mine.
Oh, geez.
But I was like 2 months early because he threw me down the stairs. But he was there. at the hospital. That's when they used to have like six beds, three on each side, and they just pulled a curtain. You know, that's going back a long time now, you know. So, you
my
know your own husband.
I found 3 tours of Vietnam. You get out in about 68. And people said to me, well, how have you developed such a program to live your life the way it is? I have examples. Unfortunately, they're all bad examples. But it was my choice to live my life the way I wanted to, not the way my father lived his life. I made
right.
the choices I wanted. And I know a lot of my father's problem was alcohol. I am not saying I'm excusing him because of alcohol. I'm not. I'm saying I know that the problem was alcohol. I did not want my family to grow up like that. But you gotta say you grow up, especially if a woman, I believe,
yeah.
if a woman's father is abusive, she's probably going to find some husband. He's going to be abusive. The chain goes on and on and on until a woman's proud enough to stand up and say, no more. That's hard to
yeah.
do. That's hard.
Oh, it is very hard to do, especially when you were married in the Catholic Church, because the priest would say, oh, you got to stick with it and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't. I walked out on him.
Huh?
I walked out on him when my daughter was 9 months old, the baby.
Right.
And I says, that's it. And I moved into a project, and I had a box spring and a mattress on the floor for me.
Right.
And I had, the kids had their twin beds in the cribs, but I slept on the floor. And,
right.
and the apartment was so bad, Bill, that I had to take, remember the wooden blocks that you got for children? I had to take that and put it up on one end of the table to make the table straight. That's how bad those floors were there.
Well,
you know,
growing up on the East Coast, we didn't have a car. We had nothing. And I'm going to say this right now. I know it sounds. My father bought me as a young child at an auction a $5 used bicycle. And I had to ride on the top rail because I was too small to sit on the seat. He told me
right.
if I wanted anything else in this life, get a job.
Yep.
And you know what? I'm not mad at him for that. It made me a tough son of a bitch I am today. But I definitely raise my children differently. You know, let's put everything on hold for a second. We have a little caller coming in here. I don't want to lose everybody, but we have a special segment called The Roving Reporter. We have a member of a motorcycle organization, Staples is his name. And Staples, do you want to give us an indication? What's going on in the motorcycle community in Southern California? Are you on, brother?
Yeah, I'm here, Bill. How you doing tonight?
We're doing fine. Can we identify you by your motorcycle organization or just want to be individual?
Let's just do the individual thing.
Okay, then why don't you say hello to everybody and give us the name you want to be known by.
All right, guys. My name is Ivan. I'm down here in Southern California, San Diego County, actually. And basically what I'm going to be doing here is giving you guys a weekly or biweekly report on what's going in and around Southern California, San Diego County, actually. I reside up here in North County, San Diego, so it's going to be based in that area primarily, but there are a lot of different clubs going on and doing things down in San Diego proper. One of the things that we do have going on up here, and it's actually a Riverside area, is the Grandfather's MC has got a Valentine's dance Saturday, February 9th, at the Rec, which the address there is 117 Graham Avenue, G-R-A-H-A-M Avenue, Lake Elsinore, California. That's, I believe, Riverside County, if I'm not mistaken. It's $15 for singles, $20 for couples. There'll be a spaghetti dinner. There's spirits and games, 50-50 drawing, live band. It starts at 7 o'clock and goes until whenever. Call Mumbles for information at 951-375-2388. There's also a run coming up for the Mission chapter of the Rough Riders. It's the I'm trying to remember the name. It's the Purple Heart Run. That will be June 22nd. They call it a Purple Heart Run, but it's actually a poker walk. It will be happening out at the Oaks Restaurant, which is just as far north as you can go in San Diego County and still be in San Diego County. It's right below Temecula, right below the Border Patrol checkpoint, right off the old 395 highway. That will be $15 per person, and it's a poker walk. It's not a poker ride. A lot of times you go out on these poker runs, and it's like a five-stop where you go from one bar to the next and draw a card. This is actually a poker walk where they have different stops all there at the Oaks restaurant. There'll be raffle prizes in the drawing, as well as a 50-50 drawing, and that will be the 22nd of June up at the Oaks restaurant in Rainbow, California. And that's about all I have for right now, Bill.
Ivan, I have a question for you. If I go on this poker run, will they have any golf cart falling behind me in case I can't make it? Because, you know, poker walks, you know, it's not my strong point.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty small area, Bill. I mean, it's like maybe, I don't know, 50 by 50. I mean, 50 by 100 feet long. It's not that big of an area.
You know, I'm just not into that walking step, brother. I'm trying to share that with you. Okay.
Yeah. We'll have a walker standing by for you, bro.
Yes. That's all I ask. Well, I want to thank you, Ivan. I'm hoping that you'll also perhaps, as you get events coming up there, maybe you can send flyers to Philip, and we can put one in the future so people can be looking at the flyers while you're talking about that. How's that sound, perhaps?
Sure, we could do that. I'm going to swing by and drop some flyers off, at least for the mission chapter run, and I'll see if I can come up with anything else.
All right. Hang on a second. Philip's got something he wants to say to you. I didn't get this.
Oh, no. I said, Bill, here's the restack of cards.
Oh, okay.
He can give you a couple of cards.
Ivan's got the cards, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Ivan, I appreciate that. Listen, we're going down the road a little bit. But are you guys going to maybe make the Yuma, Arizona run? Maybe?
When was that?
April. You're the roving reporter. What are you asking me for?
What was it?
You're the motorcycle club type person. Yuma, Arizona. April something.
Yeah, well, I don't have it in front of me, so if it's not in front of me, I don't know about it.
Ivan, we thank you very much again. I'll talk to you another couple of weeks or so, or maybe next week. And please, as always, tell your wife I said hello. She's a good person, brother. Put up with your shit all the years.
No doubt, right?
Awful. We may change your name to Rico Suave. You're getting awful smooth on the radio, buddy. Awful smooth.
Thank you very much, Bill. I had a good teacher.
Say hello to all your brothers and all that, and I'll be seeing all you guys soon, okay?
I sure will.
Thank you. Vaya con Dios, amigo.
Thank you.
Thank Ivan for that. He's a member of Motorcycle Club. He's our roving reporter. This is just, as some people want to know, what are you guys doing in Southern California and all that? I realize you people can't make...
No, here's what. Got a list here starting tomorrow, the 21st. We have Harley Davidson New Rider Boot Camp.
Uh-huh.
We got the Monster AMA Supercross.
This is all in our local area, folks.
We got the Irvine. That's that Joe Cortez end up at Swallows. We've got the Rotary Car, Biggs Harley Davidson, Dr. George Bob Car and Bike Show. It's the 11th annual in Indian Wells. The Monster AMA in San Diego. Sweethearts Ride the 8th in San Francisco.
That's out of my
name. San Marcos, Lathrop, Newhall, Ridgecrest, San Jose, El Cajon.
We have actually so much stuff to do. Wait. Yeah. March, what's the event at Kenny's Custom Cycles? We got something up here for the bike blessing, right? April 7th, is that up there yet?
No, not yet.
No, what type of a damn list is it? We don't have my event up
yet.
All right.
I mean, Vic's got you.
Okay, we got you.
San Diego got you.
There we go.
But
we are so blessed here in Southern California that we literally every single weekend, and as I told you before, many weekends Philip and I are not together, and that's a blessing in itself, but it requires us to be at two different events, two different the same day. So there are times we are together.
What day was that, Yuma?
20th, maybe? I don't know. April.
April?
But I don't know.
On April 5th, you can go...
Oh, you know what? Give me... Just sit there for a while. Oh, no, it's not in that book either. No, never mind. Okay, what's going on?
And April 5th in Phoenix, Dead and Five Hearts...
That's Arizona Bike Week, too, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Dead and Five Hearts beat premieres.
Oh, we have some friends of ours in that show there. I'd like to, when that Yuma prison run comes up, I'd like to invite all the Arizona people to stop by and visit me. Philip and I will be down there. He stays in nice hotels. I stay in a dump because, you know, I got the money and all that. But interesting side story, everybody. Philip got stopped by the Homeland Security. I'm staying in the barrio. They wouldn't come into the barrio and check me out, but they got him at the Ritzy Titsy Hotel.
April 19th through the 21st.
There we go.
Yuma Prison Run. It's the 52nd annual.
It's Yuma, Arizona, and there's literally thousands of people going there. We encourage anybody that is going, please stop and talk to us up there. We'll be at the event Friday
night. The location
night,
is going to be at the Yuma County Fairgrounds in Yumaville. It's 2520 East 32nd Street in Yuma, Arizona. The registration is $25 per adult, $12 for 7 to 12. 6 and under is free. Pre-registration deadline is April 2nd. And let's see, that's it.
What's good for Philip and I is this is an under 300-mile run, so that's just a there, no muss, no fuss. It's kind of get there, relax, take it easy with that. Leave in the morning, we're there way before night and all that. So we start doing the 400 or 500 miles, it kind of makes a whole stinking day. But anyway, anybody in the Arizona area, we will be at Yuma and looking forward to talking to everybody. Especially if everybody gets drunk and they can't say nothing at all. All right, again, thanks to Ivan, who at this time still doesn't want to say which motorcycle club he's with.
We still have Eunice, Brian, Brad, and Lord.
Fran. Oh, Fran, I'm sorry.
And
well, what's Ryan doing lately? Brian, give us a little jump down what you're doing these days.
Just recently here, I did some photos I've been doing. I've titled the series "The Beauty of the Female Form," and I'm doing a lot of form shots without showing anything nasty. And I actually got them all put in an art show. I got a phone call and they said they'd like me to come by and be the custom or the featured photographer at this art show. And come to find out, everybody else is painters, so that was, you know, pretty cool that they put my stuff in there. And I've got 13 shots I've got in there. And hoping to make that a monthly situation where I can keep getting some cool photos there. But just recently I did a shoot with a gal, Sarah. And I was going to try to get her to call in just so we can get more model perspective of the industry. She might be calling at any point now, I'm not sure. Pretty much that's it. I've got that going, trying to get events lined up for the summer. So just running around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to keep caught up with things.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we can arrange something with those guys out of Florida.
That'd be cool.
Get some pictures on that bike.
Yeah, do we have a schedule? Are they going to be coming through Colorado at any point?
No. Well, basically, what he said was if you'd like to have the bike there, you probably have to pay to ship it there. And then
right.
They'll bring it out, and then you pay round trip for them to get back and forth. So you might want to discuss that with him and the information. I just put all those pictures up on the blog.
Okay, and I did get a hold of him on Facebook. We haven't talked yet, but we're hooked up on the Facebook page.
Okay.
So that'd be cool if we could get that handled.
Yeah.
So whatever we can do to help that cause keep rolling and let everybody realize it's back on the positive side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then, you know, we were talking about, you had that burning desire. You wanted to talk about Homeland Security. What did they come up with today? And anybody that's on, everybody that's called in right now is unmuted.
Okay. Stupid ass people we have in charge of things and their line of thinking baffles me. They had an article published in the New York Post, and I got about halfway through it and quit reading because it was idiotic. Their solution to problems, if somebody comes into your house with a gun, the solution is get a pair of scissors and protect yourself. Now, is that some horse shit or what?
Yeah.
Let's make it harder for everybody to get a gun, except for the criminals, and then allow you to use scissors to protect yourself.
Or they could possibly say, instead of scissors, why don't you use a steak knife and throw it at them? It's just that ridiculous.
Right.
Well, I mean, they even got an instructional video. It's up
Are
on the blog.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's up on the blog. It's heading is for advice on confronting masturbators, use scissors.
Well,
go ahead. Yeah, you're on.
Well, you know, what's interesting is I have taught a number of young ladies that if a person grabs you from the front or grabs you from the back, since they're already holding you up, you push them hard enough, they're going to lock a knee. You bring your foot and twist it above their knee and pop that sucker. Guess what? 6 pounds, 7 pounds of pressure, you just busted that sucker's knee. But you know what the sad part is? That son of a bitch is the one that attacked you, and he can sue you for excessive
damages.
Injury.
Right.
Yeah, because somebody did that to me, grabbed me from behind. I took my hand that was free, went and grabbed into the crotch area, dug my nails and grabbed the balls and pulled and let go.
Yeah,
you know,
brutal.
You do what you do. Well, that's why women have real nails. That's the fake ones.
Actually, you are correct, and we got to be careful because a good friend of mine was in his car leaving a 7-Eleven. A guy came up, punched him 3 times in the head and in the neck and tried to rob him. Well, the third punch, he was able to get his arm twisted around, and on the window area, he broke the guy's arm. Now, this is where he got in trouble. Now my friend, who's really mad, gets out of his car and just beats the shit out of him.
He becomes the
arrested. Who went to jail, boys and girls?
Yep.
My friend went to
because
that's right. The police said once you broke his arm, that's right.
Once
you
get out of
the
car, you become the aggressor.
Sitting in his car, hit 3 times, twice in the head, once in the neck, and just big bruises. I got to give him that. He twisted the guy's arm and broke it right at the elbow, and the guy fell down. But my partner then got out of the car. And he was mad. And he went to jail. So it's a sad life. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
They want you to, the police want you to, once they break contact with you, stop the contact yourself. Don't initiate more contact. That don't make sense to me, you know.
No, it doesn't. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Hey, I got a small subject I'd like to talk about. I hope everybody's okay in this here. Man, this flu shot stuff. Man, I'm all confused about this here. I'm reading everywhere. Don't take the flu shot. Take lots of vitamin D. And then I'm hearing that, no, you got to take the flu shot because it gives you a small case of the flu so you don't get a serious case of the flu. But I'm thinking, if I don't take the flu shot, maybe I'll get no case of the flu. Anybody,
okay.
I got to go tomorrow.
Yeah, understand this real quick, because when they issue you the flu shot, they're not giving you the strain for what's taking place currently. They're giving you a strain of what there could be, so it doesn't fully protect you from the strain that is in this year. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely
right. That's basically
right,
what the flu shot is.
Has anybody out there had a flu shot?
Yeah.
Yes, maybe. I did.
I haven't had one in 10 years.
Okay.
You know, when they say they got the flu shot, I ask where is it? I will go get it. I almost died twice in my aging years not making it through. The first time it took me 6 months to recover from the flu, I'll put that arm out for it.
I'm not afraid of a needle. I'm not afraid of anything. I really mean that. I just don't know if the pros and cons. Has anybody else heard about this vitamin D but me?
Well, you know, when I turned 50, that's when they told me I needed to get a flu shot.
How long ago was that? That's a long time ago.
Yeah, I know.
A long time ago. Okay.
Well, like I said, you have to understand every year the strain is different. So every year when they issue you a flu shot, it's not for the strain that is taking place current. They give you different forms in the shot of different types or strains of the flu, but not one that is current. So there are people that will get the flu shot. They'll still get the flu. There are ones that will get the shot and will only get a certain, maybe like a little nauseous feeling, but not the full brunt of it. I stick to milk, vitamin C, you know, stuff like that throughout the winter. And like I said before the show, I haven't had one in 18 years. I have not had the flu in 18 years, but I'm very anal during the winter, which, you know, people that come into my home, you know, if they are sick, I spray Lysol, I wipe things down, it's constant. So it keeps the germs down. But when it's very cold.
Everybody comes in a motorcycle shop and they're all coughing, spitting in my face.
I'm
healthy as a horse, but, you know, my doctor's saying, Bill, come on in. I'm supposed to go tomorrow at 11 o'clock and I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm pretty sure I'm going to do it, but I just don't, I don't know.
You don't feel right about it? Well, like I said, just keep it in mind when you get that flu shot, it is not for the current strain that is out right now.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Tried to tell
with
me
your
this,
weather.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, please, ma'am.
No, I was going to say, with your weather, the way, you know, it is where you're at, it's different. Here, I love it when it gets 2 degrees, minus 10, because it kills the germs. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where it's so cold that the germs cannot live and filter through.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, in your climate, it's different, and the germs are always present. That's why it's always white.
I'm always on the motorcycle ride at nighttime, so I'm pretty cold and kind of wet an awful lot. So, you know, I don't know. Well, I will tell you guys.
Go ahead.
I will let you guys all know next week. I'm pretty sure that since I told the doctor I'd stop by, I have a doctor that calls my house. What the hell you doing, Bill? Why don't you come down? So I'm pretty sure next week I'll have had the flu shot. What, I got a question here, deviating again. Ryan, you still out there?
Yep, I'm here.
Ryan, what is 720? Who's 720?
720 is the gorgeous Sarah Elise. So I just shot her yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay. I got a lot of notes. I'm trying to figure this out here. Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, in fact, I sent some of the photos over to Phil's email. A little bit ago, but it's been so crazy on the show tonight bouncing around, I'm not sure if he's had a chance to even look at him yet.
No, I haven't got a chance to look. Do we have the young lady on the... what's her phone number? They're giving the first digits here. 720, you're on the air too. Well, I'm going to fill the bull show. You want to tell us who you are and what town you're calling from, please?
Yeah, of course. This is Sarah Lease, and I'm calling from Denver, Colorado.
Listen, is this guy Ryan? Is this Ryan a good guy or what?
Love him. Love him. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be on the show right now. So I'm very excited. So thank you so much.
Well, let me ask you a question this year. Were you comfortable when you were working with him? Was he able to bring out your strong points? Just give me a little opinion of your photo shoot, if you would, please. Because a lot of people, they've been thinking about having pictures taken. We all have it. What are some of the pros and cons that you dealt with, please?
Yeah, of course. I was very at ease. I had done shoots before, so it wasn't a problem for me. I'm pretty open and relaxed, and the biggest part is having a good photographer who also is easy to work with as well, and Ryan was great. So I think it kind of goes hand in hand. Like, you have to be easy enough to take good direction, and they have to be good enough to know how to direct you too. So that definitely helps. But I thought we worked well together.
What about makeup and hair? With the photographer, how did you compensate for having your hair and makeup because you can't see everything while you're shooting? Did you have a friend who helped you with the hair, the makeup, or how'd you do that? I'm curious.
Sure. Actually, I do a little bit of both. I did my own hair and makeup for it, and then I just come to the shoot like that and then change out outfits as we go. And then I usually try and bring some friends along with me, my big support group, and they usually help me with hair and makeup, or if there are things I don't see, if I'm in a pose to just kind of fix and things like that. So, yeah, it's definitely, I think, key to bring someone with you.
Now, one of the key, we do a lot of motorcycle model shooting, and one of the hard things I have to tell a girl sometimes is yellow's not your favorite color.
yellow, for me, I can't pull it off. It makes me look a little jaundiced, so I don't do yellow, but I wish I could. It's very pretty.
I'll say, oh, no, I love this color. I'm going, no. So, was he any help on that, or you already knew pretty much what colors you like, red and black? You already had your decision on that, or what?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want to come to a shoot prepared. We talk about it ahead of time as far as, you know, what my ideas are and then what his are. And then we try and put something together, and then I just look at my wardrobe and see what I can put together that kind of fits both of what we want and make it happen. And, of course, then we switch it up as we get there, you know, end up throwing some stuff together that you might not have planned on. Or
there are times when we're shooting the motorcycles where certain outfits don't work, even though you may look spectacular in them, and that's sometimes trial and error. That's when we shoot, of course, I'm not a photographer at all, so I'm not trying to claim I know that, but shooting models with motorcycles for so many years, we can see what outfit fits good with the product. I talk about the girl's face, the girl's figure, and the product, motorcycle, car, or truck. They all have to come together. Sometimes a good color, maybe that outfit doesn't work. So this is trial and error, and that helps when you have a good photographer and good communication with the your own crowd. So that's good there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and good case in point, yesterday I had an outfit that in theory thought was going to look amazing, and we had to tweak it a little bit just to have that come through. So, yeah, you just never know until you get into the shoot. And, yeah, definitely working with a photographer, knowing angles and things like that. It's amazing to know what you can see and can't see.
Now, may I ask you a personal question? Because, again, so many women are listening. They got these questions. I'm hoping I get most of them out there. May I ask how tall you are?
I am actually 5'6".
5'6". Do you think that that is a comfortable height? Or do you think that, of course, with heels, you can go tall as you want, I guess. Do you think that is a 5'6", 5'8", is a comfortable height? Smaller or taller? What do you feel about height at 5'6"?
Oh, goodness. Well, 5'6"
is a modeling. Putting you on the spot here, but people want to know.
No, of course. 5'6" is a very tricky height in the modeling world. They actually want you to be a little bit taller naturally, 5'7", but I think I pull it off, and I think it's also knowing your own body and your features and how to work it to make it even look taller, because a lot of people don't even know how tall I am.
Uh-huh.
Just by looking at photos.
I'm just a rude person to ask questions, that's why.
Just working, again, with good photographers and things like that, and people giving you those opportunities, because a lot of times there's tons of height requirements for shoots and runway that I definitely don't qualify for, but I try and pull it off with other things. So
a lot of people don't understand, too, when you say 5'6", 5'7", a lot of ladies are long-legged, and a lot of people are long-waisted. So they've got very long waist and short legs, or vice versa, long legs, short waist. So the height itself doesn't work, but the combination, that's kind of tough with that. A lot of people are saying, well, I don't want to shoot, or I don't want to get involved in this because I'm not tall. But what you said was so critical. You say you're comfortable with yourself. I think that's a secret. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Because there, like I said, there are probably some that I probably wouldn't have qualified for had I just based it off my height. But, you know, I make the legs work, or I make whatever they need to work so that there's no question about, well, she's only 5'6".
Right. Philip and I understand that because people tell us we have the perfect face for radio. So we understand about the importance there, you know.
It's all about that voice for you guys. We got to fall in love with your voice. Yeah.
Well, you want to tell her now or you want to tell her later?
I'm not going to run. No. That's something you should say. You should say that. Okay. Philip has been running around the computer, blah, 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 blah. And the shots, I think, are very interesting. I thought your poses were spectacular. We'd like to, with your permission, put you on as a babe of the week, if that's okay.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You'll be in 30 countries.
38.
38 countries now. And people that are listening to the show tonight, of course, they'll be going to bed, but people in all the different countries are waking up tomorrow. They're archiving the show, so they're tuning in the show tomorrow and the day after. How many hits tonight alone? Give me one quick.
90,000
people are listening to the show and dialing into it, so people can hear about that. We're going to have your picture up. Give me a little sales pitch about you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, mine would actually just be that I know probably everyone hears it in this business, but this is my dream. And every day, part of my dream is coming true. And so if people can help me out, then you have my support as well.
Now, how can people contact the company, or what can they do with Philip?
K&R Productions at yahoo.com.
Now, I'm saying that because a lot of women contact us, and they say, well, Bill, I kind of like what your model was saying. Maybe I could contact them, get some advice. And, of course, we're hoping any corporate sponsorship goes your way. I hope whatever goes, it works out for you. But is it okay if some of the women across America contact you about something?
Somebody's got to get some sponsors. If we get any, we got to start doing what they want instead of what we want.
Yeah. Philip and I, we have our show because we have no sponsors at all. This is all of us. However, again, are you comfortable with women contacting you and saying, how can I get involved in that? Or how, I don't know. Are you okay with that?
Absolutely. I would rather help as many people as I can. Because I've had so many people help me along the way that I think that's important. You know, it's sometimes just asking the right person or at the right time, you can get an answer maybe you didn't even realize. And like I said, it kind of just leads you on this wonderful journey. So, of course.
And, of course, again, I know that some women tell me, you know, Bill, you have a nice soft voice, so I'm comfortable talking to you. But there are some things I think women would like to ask another woman, you know, like was it? You started out, or can you give me some advice, or how do I stay away from those shady photographers, you know, not Ryan, of course. Ryan's an exception, everybody. One of the good guys.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm hoping you feel comfortable for that.
Right. I would actually love it.
Well, good.
The Sunday night at midnight.
Sunday night at midnight, what's going to go on?
Next week.
Okay, tell her that again. Hold on.
Be Sunday night for midnight next week.
Okay, and then blah, blah, blah. Like we said, people will be archiving the show because I'll give just a few countries we're in right now, Philip, if we can. I want you to hear this.
Just a couple.
Give us a few countries.
Well, let's see.
Give us 1 second so you can hear how many people listen to the show tonight.
Yeah, we're jacked up here a little bit.
All right.
No, hang on.
Okay.
I got it.
Philip's pushing buttons. I don't know what he does, ladies and gentlemen. I just...
Italy.
You're just there with the voice.
Now, pay attention. These are people who can listen to you today in the next couple of days. Are you ready? Tell us how many countries.
Italy, Greece, France, Germany, Brazil, the Netherlands, Australia, the United Kingdom.
Hang on, we're not done.
Poland, Russia, New Zealand, France.
Not done yet.
The Ukraine, Saudi Arabia, India, Sweden.
Not done yet.
Russia and Denmark.
Okay, now we're done.
Wow.
How's that for people listening?
You know what? I'll take it. That's a blessing for sure.
Well, like we say, you got one chance to make a first impression. I hope this works out well for you. I like the pictures. I like the shadow that Ryan played with. I saw a lot of shadow in the pictures. I kind of like that. It wasn't bright lights. Ryan, was there a special reason or am I imagining the shadows? Ryan?
No, actually, that's something that we were going for. I had talked to her probably a week and a half ago, something like that, about a certain style of shot that I wanted. And I wanted to get some really deep shadows. I wanted to encompass what the female form was by casting some of those shadows and really portraying the lines that represent the female body. So, you know, those were all intentional. We were able to shut down part of the lights and just use a certain section of them and got some incredible shots. And
once again,
really nice.
I'm amazed with your ability to work with a model. I myself believe that sensuality over sexuality comes out all the time. Let's leave the audience wanting more. Let's imply. That's what I like about your shots, and that's what I like about the girls you work with. The girls do not seem to be afraid, and I look for that in the faces, and I look for that in the poses, excuse me, with that, so...
Mm-hmm.
Well, he makes it easy too. So that's the key right there for sure.
Philip's telling me that we need you to do a little bio so we can let the people side watch the picture. They get a little bio about yourself. Is that something you and Ryan could do?
Yes, we were actually talked a little bit ago. She sent me a message about some good news she had gotten, and she needs to have a bio anyway. So when we get off the phone here tonight with the radio show, we're going to focus on getting her biography done.
Okay.
And then we're also getting a bunch more shots so I can send you guys more pictures as well as she can add some more to her portfolio.
Okay, perfect with that.
Thanks.
All right. You know, boys and girls,
I
think we're at the end of the road for a good show tonight. I want to thank everybody for calling in. As we've said many times, that it's not our show. It's everybody's show. If you people wouldn't call in, I would only have Philip to talk to. Wouldn't that be lonely and boring? But thank God for everybody calling in. And I think it was a good show. I'm happy.
Yeah.
And I hope this works out for everybody. And I'll be seeing everybody next Thursday.
And since we live in the summertime climate,
70-some degrees.
Year-round.
70 degrees.
I figure it's time for a little Mike P. summertime.
All right.
That works.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Mike P. the big homie.
All right, guys. Good night. We'll talk to you later.
Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah.
My favorite type song.
C-A-L-L-E-Y. We say G up and fly all the time. Yeah. Summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 home. C-A-L-L-E-Y. We say G up and fly all the time. Yeah. Summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 home. It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley. It's summertime in the valley, baby. Summertime in the valley. Twist the bottle open, homie, throw away the cap. Cause where we going, man, we don't need that. All we need is a 30 pack, a pack of Jimmy Straps, pack of hood rats, and a pad to kick it at. I think I'll call Swim, see what's up with him. If I can throw some hoes in the pool again. When it comes to having fun, I'm a motherfucking addict. Once again, I'm back at it, baby mama, too dramatic. And goddamn it, it's about that time. Then drink up the vodka, beer, and wine. Not even Friday night, drunk for the 10 pounds.